Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today's message comes from the Old Testament reading of Jonah, as you heard a few moments ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since you're already standing, I'm going to ask you a quick set of true and false questions to test your knowledge of the story of Jonah. All right, so true or false, Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh. If you believe this is true, stay standing. If you believe that it is false, go ahead and sit down. That answer is true. Nineveh is where God called Jonah to go, but he decided that he would rather go to Tarshish instead. All right, next one. True or false, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. If you believe that this is true, sit down. If you believe that this is false, stay standing. Okay, if Jonah was swallowed by a whale, sit down. Sit down if it's a whale, sit down. If it wasn't a whale, stay standing. All right. Woo! The answer is false. All right, so if you're sitting, you got to stay sitting now. Keep standing, though, if you're already standing. Jonah was swallowed by a whale as much as Adam and Eve ate an apple. I mean, sure, it sounds right, but God's word doesn't get specific with it. And as all of you should know by now, my opinion on Adam and Eve's fruit, it is a pear, right? Because it is the cursed fruit. Blah. All right. Okay, last question. True or false? Jonah repents of his sin in the belly of the fish. If you believe that this is true, sit down. If you believe that this is false, stay standing. Ooh. That answer is false. I'll tell you why in a minute. So if you're still standing, you win. Give yourself a pat on the back. And you can get ready for next week's quiz. All right? Go ahead and sit down. Thank you. All right. Since I've talked about my opinion already, I'd like to think that Jonah was swallowed by a shark. All right. Even if it was a whale shark. Right. Now, maybe the reason that we like to picture Jonah being swallowed by a whale is because the fish that was used was not intended to kill Jonah. Right? Even if it was maybe a killer whale. It was just intended to swallow Jonah whole and would later be told by God to throw up Jonah back onto dry land. Now, we'll get back to the fish in a minute, but let's revisit Jonah fleeing and what happens as he flees from God. God wants to steer him back onto the right path, the path that leads to Nineveh, not away from it. And so he sends a storm to prevent the boat from going on any further, stopping the crew in their tracks so that they have to figure out why this is happening. They're offloading cargo, right? They're having everybody pray to their own gods. Nothing's working. And then there's Jonah, and he is sleeping, right? While all of this is going on, there's Jonah sleeping. Now, I don't know any other people that have ever slept on a boat while a storm is raging. Do you? So they end up casting lots to see who's responsible for the storm, and it falls on Jonah. Now, we might compare Jonah to Jesus, but one person we won't is Peter. Because as the lot falls onto Jonah, he doesn't deny it. Right? And I think that it is here, not in the belly of the fish, where we see Jonah change. Now, we can say that the storm was used to bring Jonah back, that it was what the Lord used to bring him to repentance. He also used the storm to allow Jonah, the prophet, the one who shares the word of God, tells others about his God, the one true God, who made the sea and the dry land. Isn't it interesting that Jonah talks about God creating? Because he's going to be thrown into the sea. and then thrown up onto dry land. And his God is the one who made the sea and the dry land. Probably not a coincidence. But I think that Jonah's moment of repentance, while it may be more internalized than spoken out loud, is also the moment of his confession of faith. I mean, sure, he confesses to the people on the boat that he is the one who fled from God, that he is the one responsible for the storm. I also think he confesses his faith to them. But he confesses his sins as well, because he is sorry and he's ready to face the consequences of his sins, of his actions. And that's why he tells them, you got to throw me into the sea, right? We've done everything else. We've unloaded all the dead weight, the cargo. There's only one dead weight left to unload, and that's me. I think that when Jonah is thrown into the sea, he is already repented, and he is ready to accept his punishment for fleeing from God, which he expects to be death. And his confession of faith to who God is brought other people to faith, because after he's thrown into the sea, the storm ceases, and then the men, they fear the Lord. They make sacrifices and vows to him. Also, when you read through chapter 2, all of those who sat down to the last true and false question, I would ask you, where in the belly of the fish is Jonah's confession of sins? Is his repentance? Now, the reason that God would want to bring anyone to repentance in the first place is so that they're able to receive forgiveness. And why does anyone need forgiveness? Well, because all people are sinners, as we heard last week from Psalm 51. From the moment we are conceived, we are sinful. I mean, that is the sinful nature that we are created in, original sin that has been passed down to us from our original parents. That's what we also call the old Adam, the old man, the old self that Romans 6 you heard from. And God wants to forgive us of our sins. And really, when we think about what sin is, it's fleeing from the presence of God. It's fleeing from hearing God's word. It's fleeing from listening to God's commands. It's acting as if we are God ourselves and making decisions based on that. Therefore, we cannot be near to God, because there is only one true God, even if our actions speak contrary to that. Jonah flees from God's call on his life, which, by the way, he is the only prophet that disobeyed God's call. And in disobedience, God calls us back to himself in repentance. Now, some people can hear the word of God. They can be convicted of their sin and are brought to repentance. Praise the Lord if that is you. Because there are others of us like Jonah who flee from God in our sin. We need a little bit more extreme measures to bring us back. Jonah needed the storm to be brought to repentance. Sometimes it's events in our lives that lead us to repentance. Maybe it's an act of nature, like a storm, an earthquake, a tornado, or a hurricane. Maybe it's something that happens with a family member, something that happens at work, something that happens at school, something that happens in the car while you're driving, on the sidewalk, while you're walking. Maybe it's someone coming and showing you your disobedience, your sin to you. For those of you who have heard my story before, it was being fired from my job and being faced with the fear, the reality, that I could potentially be arrested because I was a habitual stealer. I was a thief and had been caught multiple times. And that I could potentially get kicked out of university because the job I was working was through my university. God used my sin and the potential earthly consequences of my sin to bring about my repentance of my sin, to turn me away from that sin and to turn me towards him, to turn my life around. And all of us have a Jonah moment, no matter how big or small it might be. And sometimes, some of us, we have more than one Jonah moment, because we sin, we flee, and then we have a moment. And then we sin and we flee again, and then we have a moment. And then we sin, and then we sin, and then we sin. And God wants to bring about our repentance, wants to bring the forgiveness for our sins. Because ultimately, as Romans 6 goes on to say, as we heard last week, the wages of sin is death. I think Jonah understood that. And that's why he's ready to be thrown into the sea, taking the death that he deserved. But we're not just talking about physical death. We're talking about eternal death. All sinners deserve the same sentence of everlasting death, hell. We all do. You, me. It's what we all deserve. And even though the wages of sin is death, God wants to save us from death. And as Jonah says at the end of his time in the belly of the fish, salvation belongs to the Lord. God had bigger plans for Jonah than just losing his life into the sea. And the fish is actually what saves Jonah, not what brings about his repentance. Because as you read what he says in the belly of the fish, in the end, it's really a prayer of thanksgiving to God, recalling that as the waters enclosed him and as death came nearer to him, the Lord brought him out of death. I mean, there isn't anything there that sounds like repentance. I think it's already happened. And so Jonah, not being delivered from sin, he's being delivered from physical death. Because God has more in store for Jonah. And the fish, then, is the means by which God saves Jonah. The fish is the means by which Jonah is saved. Fast forward about 800 years, and you have the gospel reading for today, where Jesus is viewed as a genie in a bottle. Because the scribes and the Pharisees wish for a sign from him. Jesus is not a genie in a bottle. And he tells them, the only sign they're getting is the sign of Jonah. And then he states very clearly for them, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Fast forward just a little bit of time. And there you see Jesus on the cross, being mocked, having people call out, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you're really the Savior. Except he doesn't, because he wasn't about saving himself. He was about saving you. And the sinless, perfect Son of God gave up his life. The Son of God died and was buried in the tomb. And outside of the tomb, you heard the scribes and the Pharisees saying, Jesus, we'll see you in 3 days now that you're in the heart of the earth. Right? That's what happens, right? No. Right? They weren't there because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe him. But just as Jonah had the fish, Jesus had the tomb. And the tomb is the means by which you are saved. And that's because the tomb means death. Jesus dies on the cross for the sins of the world as the perfect sacrifice. And then he is going to be buried in the tomb. Just like Jonah goes into the belly of the fish for 3 days, Jesus goes into the belly of the earth for 3 days. And just like Jonah exits the fish in 3 days' time, Jesus, in 3 days' time, exits the empty tomb, because he is not dead. He is alive, just like he said would happen. And the empty tomb is still the means by which you are saved. Because Christ has risen from the dead. Death has no power over him. He has conquered sin, death, and the devil, and that means that we will too. And yet, God doesn't end with an empty tomb, because God uses more means to save his people. Yes, Jesus gives us salvation through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Yes, Jesus gives us forgiveness through his death and resurrection. These are all given to us by faith, which has been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also gives us forgiveness and salvation through his means of grace. The Word, which has been given to us, because faith comes from hearing the Word, and faith brings us to repentance, and faith is what saves us. Jesus also gives us forgiveness and salvation through his supper as we eat his body and his blood. And finally, the one we want to point out to today that is connected to Jonah is baptism. Because baptism works the forgiveness of sins. It rescues from death and the devil and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. And you better believe that the Holy Spirit is working through little Elias right now, working faith in him. Baptism is the means by which we are saved. Baptism is the means by which you are saved. And as you saw today, baptism is the means by which Elias is saved. In our baptism, we are thrown into the waters, waters that bring about our forgiveness. And so today you saw Elias thrown into the waters of baptism. And so that old man, that old self, forgiven by God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In baptism, Elias was made a child of God, marked as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified One. And Christ takes Elias into himself, like the fish took Jonah into himself. In baptism, Elias was joined to Christ and his death and resurrection. In baptism, Elias is saved. And that new man, that new child of God, rises up out of these waters as one who has eternal life. Baptism saves you. The Word saves you. The Lord's Supper saves you. Christ's death and resurrection absolutely saves you. These are all the means by which God saves. Now, don't expect to get a fish ever, but do expect God's continual reminder to you through baptism, reminding you about your own baptism. And also know that you will get a continual reminder about Christ's death and resurrection. Because if there is one thing that you can always count on, always expect to hear in worship, it is Christ's death and resurrection for you. For the forgiveness of your sins, for your salvation. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is all because of Christ's death on the cross, being in the tomb for 3 days, and then rising from the dead, in which, as Jonah says, salvation belongs to the Lord. This is most certainly true. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.